We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Thank you, everyone. So we're just going to just get into the word. And today we're privileged to have our speaker, Mr. Philemon Sesemayo.
It's all right. Thank you.
Oh, I have to do an introduction, right? So yes, really this is the introduction that I've been waiting for. Yeah. So, Mr. Sesemayo is our brother, or I'll just finish saying he's my brother, and he is married to his lovely wife, Mrs. Roper Sesemayo, and they both lead our youth and radicals ministry as well as our worship team. We're just going to just give a warm welcome, even as he just comes and just preaches the word of God this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Jesus. Because all we want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. That even as you use me this morning, God, Father, to deliver your word, God, Father, may you be glorified, O Lord Jesus. Father, I take no glory of my own, O God, but Father, all glory be given unto you, O Lord. Father, may I decrease, Almighty God, Father, even as you increase. And God, I pray that would you soften our hearts, O God, Father, to receive your word this morning. Father, I pray for transformation. Father, I pray for renewals of minds. Father, I pray, Almighty God, that we come out of here encouraged, Almighty God, and Father, with even more faith than we actually walked in with. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. It's a pleasure once again to be able to share the word with you all. And for everyone who's also online as well, if you joined in halfway, welcome. This is SEC, and we are glad you're able to join us. First of all, actually, I would like to thank the eldership of the church for giving this opportunity to preach out. I always miss out that part, but yeah. So thank you again for this opportunity. And, you know, I don't take it lightly that you're having to sit here and listen to the sound of my voice. So as you know, since September last year, we started a new theme. It was a season of open doors. A season of open doors. And this, I think for me, the reason why this theme struck me, normally when a theme launches, like, oh, you know, great, this is a good theme. But the reason why this one probably struck me more than any other one was the fact that the theme in itself was completely opposite to what we're experiencing or even are experiencing at this current moment in time. Right in September, I think the pandemic probably started, at least when we started experiencing lockdowns, was probably around about March, around about April. And all the reports that we kept on hearing from the news are businesses are shutting down, industries are shutting down, you know, schools are closed. In every way and shape or form you could think of, it seemed as though, if anything, it was closed doors, not open doors. And I think that is true if you are simply looking at it from the natural perspective, able to look at what we are looking at when we look. But then now when I've now also then been listening to the reports of people and the experiences that they've been having, I can really attest to say it really has been a season of open doors for many in this current time. Just to give you a slight glimpse of what I've been hearing. Okay, so first of all, there's been multiple businesses that have opened from people who are within this church. And I find it so incredible. And especially even the ladies in this house, I just see there's so many businesses that the ladies are just opening up. And it's incredible to think in one side, there's businesses that are closing. But then for this church, all doors are being opened for people to be entrepreneurs, right? People were getting married during this season as well. I didn't know that Zoom was a viable venue for a wedding. I wish I knew that when I got married, then half the guests would be like, you know, go on Zoom. But but it's incredible that when you think all the doors are closed and people are telling you, oh, you know, we have to shift the venue, all of a sudden they're like, you know what, we're still gonna get married and still things are going to happen. Some people have been advancing within their careers and their ventures. People have been getting degrees, they've been getting, you know, qualifications. For other people as well, I think the biggest one for me is the way the Lord has been using people in this season to enhance the Lord's relationship with us. It's incredible that although in the natural it seems as though, oh, the doors of the churches are closed, the physical doors, all of a sudden we are seeing that even within our own homes, we are meeting more regularly, we are meeting and praying more. And it's incredible that God is opening doors even in relationship with Him, more so even though it wouldn't make sense considering that the doors of the church appear to be closed in many places. And for me, I think this is all just incredible. And if you haven't caught on just yet, really the essence of my message today is for anybody who is hearing me speak today and looking at the report of the land and report of the news and thinking, surely it's not open doors, I would want to encourage you to say, God is opening doors, and He's opening doors. And honestly, if you were to just listen to the Lord and be able to hear what the Lord is doing, you will see that He's opening doors in so many different ways. And then we come really to one of the critical points of this theme, of which, you know, we speak a lot about the open doors, but then there's this element that comes before, which I think is so vital. It's this idea of a season. It's a season of open doors, right? When we talk about seasons, well, in essence, if you think of, you know, the natural weather patterns, okay, there's winter and there's summer, right? In the winter, you expect it to be cold. It is the season for things to be cold. Or in the summer, you expect sunlight, and it is the season for longer days and sunlight and warmth and so on and so forth. So when we talk about a season of open doors, we're talking about a particular abundance in this particular matter of open doors. We're not saying that doors won't open any other time, but then in this specific season, there's an abundance and a grace for doors to open in our lives in ways that it hasn't done so before. So in other words, like for example, we know England, right? It was snowing in April. It was snowing literally last month. Yes, it was the odd day or the odd couple of days, but then when you look in the winter, that's when you would expect the cold. And likewise, I implore you today to be able to tap in to the grace that has been afforded to this church in the fact that we have open doors. In other words, things that we have been trying to do before in the past where doors have been closed, you will start to see that you'll be able to advance and actually walk in them because of the grace of the open doors that is upon us. Amen? Amen. So, okay, so we've talked about the time-sensitive nature of this whole thing. So, in essence, what God is really been pressing on my heart in this season is, it's one thing to understand the what of a thing, but it's also important to understand the when, right? So the what in this instance is doors are opening. But then God is saying, when are doors opening? Doors are opening now. And I will continue to repeat this. It's doors are open. It is the season of open doors. So just to recap from where this theme is coming from, it's from Revelation 3, verse 8. I'll just read it. I think we're quite familiar with it now. It says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So I really wanted to, when I was kind of asking the Lord, how do I get this message across to get the urgency and the idea that like this is happening right now and it's important for us to tap into it. The Lord then gave me a story, and I was like, Lord, not this story, because people were thinking, Phil, you're being lazy. You didn't really want to actually go study the Bible to actually work out what the Lord wants to say. So, because it's a very common story. And this story is the story of when the Lord parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. It's from when the Lord parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, right? So to kind of recap for those who may not be too familiar with the story, what happened is way back when, the descendants of Jacob, so the Israelites, basically were after kind of they were held in captivity within Egypt. Kind of, I'm trying to kind of skip ahead, but okay. So they were held in captivity in Egypt, pretty much for about 430 years. At first, they were celebrated, and then eventually the people had forgotten about why these people were celebrated for. So in essence, they ended up being made captive. Then God raised up this man of God called Moses to be able then to lead these Israelites out of captivity and basically out to go and worship the Lord. So after the Egyptians at the time experienced 10 different plagues, eventually Pharaoh, the ruler at the time, eventually then allowed for these Israelites to be set free. Now, there was this particular instance in this venture when they were running away. They then came across a quote-unquote door. They then came across a blocker in their path, in the fact that on one side, the Egyptians were chasing them, and then on the other side, they then had a sea in front of them, the Red Sea, right? So that's basically where we are in the story. So I'm just reading from Exodus 14, chapters 10 to 16. It says, as Pharaoh approached, so Pharaoh is chasing them now at this point because he had a change of heart towards the Israelites after he had let them go. So as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked, and they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why have you done this to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness. Now, this is the part that I really want us to look at. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will not be seen again. And this is the part that the Lord... Okay, so then it says, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now, this is the part that I hadn't seen before. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Right? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. I'm just going to jump to verse 21. It says, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. So what just happened here? I want you to recognize that the Lord did something here which I think for me I hadn't really seen as an illustration before, is that he opened up a door, a miraculous door, a door which was in a very specific time for it to happen for the Israelite children. And it was specifically for, as well, for the Israelite children. Now, if you think to yourself, this is really the emphasis of what open doors really looks like. It's before there may have been a Red Sea ahead of us in whatever endeavor God is trying to lead us through. But in this season of open doors, what the Lord is trying to do is to part what seems to be an impossible thing through his miraculous power and his grace to be able to part it so that we are able to make a way through it. Now, for me, the part that really struck me, as I was saying before, is this part when the Lord had to say to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And it leads me to my first point. And it says, listen to the Lord's leading and go forward. Listen to the Lord's leading and go forward. Right? So what's the issue here? The issue at hand is that what often happens with our walk in the faith is that we fall in love with a process or fall in love in how to do things that we don't actually end up seeing what God is actually saying and doing. Now, if you were to ask me, what Moses said to the Israelites to me didn't seem like something that was wrong. He said to them, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch what the Lord rescued today. The Egyptians you see, you never see again. I mean, if you wanted a man of God, that's a man of God answer right there. He's putting all faith in the Lord. He's saying, you know what? Steadfast, stay steadfast in the Lord. But then the Lord has to chasten him and say, why are you crying out to me? He's basically saying, what it is that you are petitioning for, the prayers that you have been making, I've already started you on this journey, and then I'm actually providing a way for you to go, and yet what you're still doing is being stuck in the process. You're stuck in the process, you're still petitioning. The Lord is saying, the door is open, and you're still stuck in the process. So for some people, for example, if you're making it practical, some people are thinking, you know what, Lord, I really want to apply for a job, I really want to get this, you know, a position that I want to, but what you're still doing is still crying out to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, why are you still crying out to me? If you wanted to go to university, you're trying to get a degree, you're trying to get a qualification, the Lord is saying, why are you still crying out to me when you are in the season of open doors? Because what the Lord is saying is that in this particular time, in this season, the Lord is making a way where there was no way. In Isaiah 43, you say, I am making a way in the wilderness. Can you not perceive it? The Lord is saying, can you not see what he is doing right now? Don't get stuck in the process. So I was like, okay, so Pastor will be very angry if we walk out of here and all the people stop praying. I'm not saying we stop praying. What we are saying is that a lot of the times what happens is we pray for things, but then what is then lacking on the other end is the faith and the expectation for what it is that we're actually praying for. So what happens is that we go into the mode of what we ought to do, and what we ought to do is to pray, right? And yet what we're asking for is to say, Lord, after I have prayed, I am putting an expectation on my word through the faith that we have that this will come to pass. And I, you know what? There's something that I saw as well in Scripture which I hadn't seen before. And I'm just reading. Okay, it's again another common story with blind Bartimaeus, right? And it says Jesus asked, in this is in Mark chapter 10, verse 51. It says Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man answered, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, you may go, your eyes are healed because of your faith. For me, okay, I've heard that a million and one times before, but what I never realized in that moment is this was an actual illustration of what prayer looks like. The words that blind Bartimaeus was actually speaking where in essence the faith that he already had. So in essence, prayer then becomes the utterance of the faith that we already have. But often what we do is the other way around. We almost want to pray for something, then not have the faith. But the point is almost the prayer is the verbalization of the faith that we already have. And then so that's when Jesus then responds to say, it's because of your faith, not because of your prayer, not because of your request, not because of the way in which we did it, but it's the fact that we had the faith to be able to ask of it. So in other words, when Moses was still crying out to the Lord, when Moses was still saying, we are waiting on the Lord, we are waiting on the Lord, what he was getting stuck in, as I was saying, is this idea of the process. You know, it seems to me that often as Christians, we almost believe miracles to be possible when we are talking about the Bible, but then all of a sudden, when it comes to our own lives, for me it's too far, and for me I think that's what baffles the Lord. But he's saying, you know, why don't you put your trust in me that whatever is blocking your way or what you have been praying for, I'll be able to do it for you. And in this season of open doors, he will actually do it. And I think one element that we must also realize when we're talking about the season of open doors is it's who is it that is opening the door in this time. We must realize that in the past, where we are not in this particular season, it may have been the case whereby we are trying to open doors out of our own strength, or we're trying to open doors, and that is probably the reason why it didn't work before. But then the Lord is telling us in Revelation 3:8, he said that he is opening a door that no man can shut. That means when God opens it for us, it is not any other power who's able to close it unless it is his own. Amen. Amen. So the Israelites are now, you know, Moses then goes ahead and encourages the Israelites, okay, we must move forward. And he's making a move, and it leads me on to my second point. My second point is this: have faith to walk through the door. I'm reading from Exodus chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. How miraculous is that? I mean, at times, you know, we read scripture and we can almost do it quite half-heartedly, but then if you can just imagine, this is a sea, and it is being parted by the Lord by wind, right? And in Numbers, we know that the count of fighting men amounted to being about 600,000 people. 600,000 men, that is. So if you were to get a rough estimate, you know for at least there was a couple of million people if we're only counting fighting men as 600,000. And they're all being, and the Lord is opening up a way in the sea enough for them to be able to walk through that. So what we realize there is that when God opens a door, he does it miraculously and he does it full of grace. But then at the same time, I also have to recognize what it must have been like if you were an Israelite walking through that doorway, walking through the sea. I mean, imagine, just imagine what that must have looked like to be walking on dry ground, and to your left and to your right, you are seeing walls of the sea beside you. And really, what this tells me is that, you know what we need to have faith in is the one who is opening the door. Because if we then look at the challenge, or we look at the things around us which can look as though they can consume us, then we'll get defeated in our minds, in our faith, instead of believing in the one who's opening the door. So the question then really becomes is, who are we going to put our faith in? Is it our faith in our circumstance and what it appears to be, or the faith that we have in the one that is opening the door? So when the Lord opens doors, we will find that naturally it tends to mean that you are moving from a place where you've known or what it was like to then to a new place which is entirely different to what you have known before. It is a whole new reality. If you think, and for me, this is how miraculous it is. When the Lord parted the sea, imagine this is a seabed which has been constantly saturated with water all along. But what the Lord has done is that he has shifted the water so much that what they are walking on is dry land. This is an area of which we are not aware of. We don't know this kind. So the only person we have to put our trust in when we're now walking in this new door is in the Lord, because he's the one who understands it. He's the one who cultivates it. I mean, even if you think of the way that the wind was pushing back the sea. So this is a wind which is strong enough to push back the sea, but is not strong enough to blow over the people. It's like, what's going on? And this, see, I'm just trying to express to you just how miraculous it is when God opens a door compared to when we've opened doors for ourselves. All of a sudden, what appears to be a challenge, what appears as though something which will consume us is held outright and just pushed aside, so that then we are able to make a path on dry land where in other times it was always wet. I mean, like, for me, it just absolutely blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind, because then in the end of the day, the question you have to ask yourself is that whose report shall we believe? Are we going to believe the report of that? Because as we say, the world is talking right now, and I will not lie, the pandemic has been a travesty. I mean, it's not something that we take lightly, but then what we also have to recognize is what God is doing for us as a church in this time. God is opening doors in ways in which we have not seen before, but then it takes for somebody to be able to have faith, to be able to say, you know what, Lord God, I'm going to put my faith in you to be able to open this door for me. To be able to say, see, I think some of us have, they say that the wealthiest place in the world is the grave. Amen. And the reason why they say that is because all those dreams, all those things that, you know, the Lord was putting on people to do, often they never actually got around to doing them, simply because of one reason or the other, they just didn't get to do it. But what the Lord is saying in this specific time is that he's opening doors for us to be able to do even those things that he put on your heart a year ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 40 years ago, wherever it may be. The Lord is saying, now is the season, at least listen to the Lord. I'm not saying everyone just jump off and do things. I'm saying by the leading of the Lord, he'll be able to show you what he has for you to do in this specific season that you were not able to do before. But then again, it's a season. It's a season. That means we need to partake of it in this moment, and it is in now. And then my third point is this. Do not turn backwards. Do not turn backwards. Exodus chapter 14, 26 to verses 27. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again, then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their charioteers, so that the sun can." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into the usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. So I want you to imagine this. The Lord has opened a way through the Red Sea. He has opened a door for the Israelites to be able to walk through. Now imagine what would have happened if the Israelites halfway through, partway through, or didn't even choose to enter, decided to turn backwards. The only thing that was there for them if they were to miss the instruction of the Lord is that there was destruction behind them. So as the Lord is passing us through doors, the Lord is telling us that we have to place our faith in Him to be able to go all the way through and not try to look backwards or even start to backtrack on the back of what we may think, oh, is the right thing to do. We have to continue going forward, lest there is destruction for us if we choose to go backwards. And interestingly enough, when it actually came to this message, the point at which I actually started with was actually over here. This is what the Lord had to share with me. So when the Lord has brought us through a door and we are putting faith in Him, there is no reason then, after already putting our faith in Him, to then think that we are then to backtrack. And there's two particular cycles, I believe, that the Lord wants to break, especially within this season of open doors. And the first is this. When it comes to the door of salvation, often what is happening, or what the Lord was sharing me, is that people step through this door. They walk through and they say, "Lord, I want you, I need you." And they walk through and they say, "Lord, I receive you." And there is this euphoria, there is this joy that they have, or even the one that David would say, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." There is a joy that comes at the point of salvation. And then what happens is that when this joy overcomes us and it fills us, all of a sudden we're like, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing, this is great." And you know, we are so zealous to be able to work for the Lord and do the things for the Lord. And then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 4 months later, a year later, all of a sudden this joy that we had, this zeal that we had starts to disappear. All of a sudden, you know, we don't have that same euphoria about it. And the issue that then happens then is that what's happening with a lot of people is that then they choose then to walk backwards, that they walk back out. So all the commitments they had made to the Lord, all those things that they said they would do for the Lord, all of a sudden they're saying, "You know what, I'm going to step back through out of that door." And this is the sad part, is when the pleasures of sin and also those things that God has delivered us from, all of a sudden are like, "You know what, the euphoria has ended, I'm going to step back into what God has delivered me from." And for me, I was like, "Lord, how? Explain to me more." And he gave me this parable, right? It's a common parable. It's the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus says that if a shepherd loses a single sheep, if a shepherd loses a single sheep, would he not then leave the 99 to go and rescue the one, right? And this is exactly what God does. God loves us so much that He will actually leave the 99 to rescue the one. But then the mistake that comes out of that is thinking that the Lord values the one over the 99. I need you to stay with me here. It is not the case that the Lord values the one over the 99. And Jesus would then go on to say that wouldn't the shepherd even rejoice more over the one over the 99 in that moment as heaven is rejoicing, right? So then we start to think, oh, and this is what happens then when somebody's walking through the door of salvation, is that all of a sudden they've got this euphoria. It's like, "Oh my goodness, the Lord has paid attention to me. He has paid special attention and He has brought me out from where I was." And all of a sudden that excitement then dwindles away when you then become part of the 100 again. But it's like, oh, there's now no more special attention. But then see, this is what the Lord then revealed to me, is that like there is still a difference between the one and the 99. The difference is the one has not been under the care of the shepherd the whole time. The one would have been attacked by wolves. They would have been scathed. They would have done all sorts of attacks would have been possible to the one, although the 99 were in a safe place being held together by the shepherd and they were cared for. So although it may seem that like it is great to be the one, really and truly the better position to be in is to be in the position of the 99. So the Lord is saying, when I have rescued you, when I have taken you from a place where I have drawn you from, do not return back to which I've pulled you from, because there is nothing for you there. The only thing that will be there for you is for there to be devouring. The enemy will tell you that, no, if you go back there, then the Lord will love you enough to come back to you. But no, the Lord loves you enough to keep you within the fold and within the 99 the whole time. And whatever what was in the past, yes, we have lessons that we learn from the past. I mean, I thank God for the grace that saved me. And I always remember where I was in the past before I came to the Lord. And I remember the lesson, but it is not a place for me to belong. It is a place for me to remember, but to take it as a lesson for me to go forward with, but not for a place for me to be. And the Lord is saying to us that for those of us who have received salvation, especially in this season, I mean, I think all of a sudden the pandemic, what it has done to a lot of us is made life. It's made us realize how I'm forgetting the word here. How fragile, shall I say, life is. And how important it is to be close to the Lord. And that's why in this season he is building something up in us in this open season to say, you know what, draw close to me. But then the worst thing that would happen to us is when we then walk away from the door that the Lord has opened for us to be able to walk back out of it. And the second group is this. Yes, there are those who are still dealing with this whole thing of stepping in and out of the flock. But then there's also those who the Lord has given clear instruction. He has given clear instruction to say, here is the way in which I need you to go. Here is the open door for you. And yet, even though we agree with what the Lord has for us and agree that this is the way in which I am to go, all of a sudden then, when it comes for the time to go forward, we stay stagnant. We then get stuck again in that process. We get stuck in this whole thing of, we are just going to continue going through the process instead of actually be taking hold of what the Lord has for us in that to actually go forward and enter the door that the Lord has for us. So I'm just going to finish with this. In this season of open doors, the one thing that I hope all of us walk away from this from is understanding that the Lord is moving. That the Lord is doing a new thing right now among us, and he's doing it for each and every single one of us individually in his own way for each one of our circumstances and each one of our journeys that we have. But then what the Lord is imploring us, and I come back to this, is to say, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith in him who has started the good work in us. Because the Lord wants to see the good work through. He wants to see the good work completed in us. When the challenges come, even when the Red Seas are parted for us and the door is open, the Lord is saying, don't continue standing still. Move forward. Go forward. Enter into this new reality that the Lord has given you. And I am not here to say that there's no challenge that may come along the way. The truth is, probably challenges will come on the way. But then it is, who is it that we're going to put our faith in? Who is it that we're putting our trust in? And we have to put our trust in the Lord, in the God of Israel, that he is able to bring us through and able to take us all the way through from what he has started. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, I pray for feet that move forward, oh God. Father, I pray for feet that choose to continue to strive forward, God, and Father, and not be stuck in the process. But Father, I pray for faith to arise, oh God. That Father, those that have been experiencing, God, Father, this season of an open door, Father, I thank you. And Father, for those who are still looking around saying, where is this open door? Father, I pray that you reveal to them and you speak to us individually and say, go forward. Show us the door in which you want us to go. Father, for those who are still battling between the world that was or the reality that was, the reality that you want us to step into, God, I pray that, God, you keep us within the fold, Almighty God. Father, may we be within the 99, oh God. Father, may we not be constantly be the lost sheep, Almighty God. Father, to be scathed by the world, oh Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for faith to arise to be able to do what you have called us to do, Almighty God. Father, in this season of open doors, Almighty God. Father, we pray for the gospel to reach the very ends of the earth, oh Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for the dreams that you gave to us, God, Father, at young ages, God, Father, at different points in life that you said we are to do. God, in this season of open doors, God, would you make your way, oh God. Father, would you part our Red Seas, oh God. Father, would you make a way in the wilderness, oh Lord Jesus. Jehovah, I pray, Almighty God, Father, may we not be said to be the people who just mumble, God, but Father, we pray to be people who have faith in the one who is able. Jesus, I pray, Almighty God, that open doors over all those, God, Father, who are part of this church. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.